Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Tonight, me and Matty the Waterboy, we return on YouTube for another episode of the off-season, but more importantly, another installment of What If. So today we're going to have a look at what if the Brisbane Broncos won the 2015 Grand Final. It really does change the history of Rugby League as far as Wayne Bennett's career, some of the great Broncos like Alex Glenn, Andrew McCulloch, Justin Hodges, and it also has a huge impact on the North Queensland Cowboys in particular. Their captain at the time, the Clive Churchill medalist in that game, Jonathan Thurston. The impact of losing this grand final on his career, I think it would have been pretty significant. We also talk about if the Broncos would have won this, who would have got the Clive Churchill medal, and the guy that me and Matty believe would have got it. If the Broncos won, we think his career would look very, very differently at the moment if it played out that way. 6 p.m. on YouTube tonight. The full episode goes for about an hour and 15 minutes. You can catch about half an hour of it here on this episode. See you tonight on YouTube.
Now, when it comes to this grand final, as we said, the first All-Queensland grand final, there's a couple of other things that make it pretty special. And I went through and did some numbers, which are just crazy. So, of the last 15 grand finals, sorry, of the last 50 grand finals, only 18 of them have seen both teams score more than 12 points in the entire game, yeah? So, less than 50% of grand finals, both teams score 12 points. Now, of those 18... only three of those have seen both teams score 10 points in the first half.
Yeah, right.
So you think about the last 50 grand finals, only three times have we seen both teams score 10 points or more in the first half. The halftime score in this one was 14-12. So this is the only grand final in the last 50 years. And that's only as far back as I went. If you think about, you know, games back in 70s, 60s, quite often you're getting grand finals that are 4-2, 2-6, whatever it might be. I would be willing to say this is probably the only grand final ever where both teams score 12 or more points in the first half, which is unbelievable. Matty, the other two times that teams scored 10 points or more in the first half, one of them is in the NRL era. Another one is just before it. Do you want to have a stab in the dark at what games they were? If you get it, I'll be very, very, very impressed. Might even swap seats.
12 points. So NRL era.
Yep. That's from 98 to now.
I'll be here all day if I think. Let me... 2005?
Nope.
I don't know. Just tell me.
So the first one was 1998. The very first NRL grand final after Super League. The Dogs led 12-10. Sorry. It's the only time that teams have scored 10 or more points. Did I say 10 or more or 12 or more?
I think you said 12, but I still wouldn't have guessed
10 or more. Sorry, yeah, 10 or more. So the 2015 is the only one with 12 or more. But in 1998, the Bulldogs led 12-10 over the Brisbane Broncos. That was, you know, 17 years before this. Brisbane obviously went on to win that grand final. The one before that was 1990 when the Canberra Raiders led 12-10 over the Penrith Panthers. So that was 25 years before this. So pretty crazy to see two teams score 12 or more points. Hasn't been done before in a grand final. So another little thing that I think because the second half was so crazy and Golden Point was so crazy, we forget how good the first half was. I just want to take you back to in the 5th minute and the 30th second, Corey Parker, he kicks a penalty goal from about 40 metres out. Yeah, it's a bit of a strange decision at the time because the Broncos had a bit of the momentum. It was one of those moments, and I think the commentators even said it, Matty, where they said, oh, the Cowboys would be stoked with Brisbane making that decision. The Cowboys then kick off. Sam Thider, he takes the first hit up. He gets to about 2 metres out from his line. They're on the back foot. Adam Blair takes a hit up. He gets an offload. Milford takes him on down the short side, puts Jack Reid away. He draws and passes on the fullback. Corey Oates scores. So all of a sudden, they go from having a bit of momentum, the Brisbane Broncos, to taking a goal that was a bit controversial to only one tackle later, Matty, leading 8-0 in the grand final. Now, off the back of that, the Cowboys kick off. They take it forward. Sam Thiday returns the ball on the first tackle. The next tackle, Matt Gillette takes it up. He knocks it on that tackle. There's a scrum. And then, of course, Jakey Granville, he sneaks out from behind the scrum, finds Justin O'Neill on his inside. He scores. That was in the 9th minute and 43rd second. And then Jonathan Thurston, he ends up kicking that goal to convert that try in the 11th minute and the 10 seconds. So there's a 6-minute period where there's 14 points scored and only 2 tackles completed, Matty. Unbelievable.
It's crazy. I actually remember seeing it halftime and like literally had to take a breath because you were just like, holy Jesus. And then because the second half, like we'll get to the second half, because the second half was so, it was just not the same. It was the opposite. Yep. It was the only try was the last try, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it ended up, I think the second half was like 5-2 or something like that. Yeah, it went from one of the highest scoring grand final halves as far as both teams goes. There's obviously been games where teams have blown out other teams, but 24 points for both, or 26 points for both teams to score more than 12, absolutely unheard of. So you're right, Matty. It really was, the first half was super exciting, but then the second half was completely different, but obviously a little bit more history made.
It was siren to siren.
Yeah.
It was 2-0 because
it was 2, wasn't
because
it?
Because, I mean, obviously felt scored after the bell and then the field goal was in Golden Point. So it was only that. There was no tries. Siren to siren. Like obviously there was like after the siren, but yeah. You know what I mean. Like that crazy attacking. It was an insane game.
Yeah, insane. And I know that, you know, obviously we weren't alive to watch the 1989 grand final. And whenever I watched, I always think this is fucking unbelievable. Mm. But for me, obviously, you know, watching the 89 grand final on tape and living through and being there for the 2015 grand final, it's tough for me. It's very tough to say which one was the better grand final.
Yeah, I think just for that reason, I'm saying 2015 with a big asterisk. Wasn't alive for 89 and 97. I was 2 years old, whatever. So, I'm totally happy for anyone to disagree if they've watched those games. Like, that's totally fine. But, yeah, in my lifetime of watching footy, it's the best grand final for sure.
Yeah, there's so many moments in this game that I not forgot, but just didn't recall when I rewatched it. Like as we were saying before, there's a moment there where Kane Lynette should have scored for all money. Thurston throws a pearler of a ball; he knocks it on in the 12th minute. Like this first half could have had more points. Corey Oates is going to score for all money. Kyle Felt's going to score, and Corey Oates comes over and makes a huge try-saving tackle. Like, yep. There's so many moments in this game that
even
could have gone either way.
The Lachlan Coote one, like he almost scored, but then yep. He got pinged for double movement in the second half as well. That was just after the Kane Lynette thing. Oh man!
And like I think people forget obviously you had the Michael Morgan try and whatnot, but the 2 minutes leading up to that is absolute fucking chaos.
Yeah.
There's turnovers everywhere. There's huge plays by Kyle Felt. It's the 3 minutes that he had there, obviously scored the try, which is great, but he also came up with a big play on Ben Hunt, was it? I think he had a one-on-one steal.
Something like that.
Got the ball back. Unbelievable stuff. This grand final, a very, very special one. We could probably talk about it all day, to be honest with you, but we do want to just dive into if the Broncos would have won this one, what it would have meant in the history of rugby league, the history of the Brisbane Broncos and the North Queensland Cowboys. There's a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Broncos, they've won 6 premierships, all under Wayne Bennett. They'd never lost a grand final up until this one. They lose this one. So Bennett's record as a Broncos coach is 6-7. And look, hard to ever beat that as a club coach. I don't think it ever will get beat. But Matty, if it would have been 7-7, Not that Wayne Bennett probably needs to be elevated to any greater heights, but it certainly would have, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's still number one in history, or from what I've seen. He just would have been a more clear number one, I feel. And I mean, it would have been cool to have that 7 from 7 record. I think the more vital part of that is he would have stayed at Broncos longer, which would have changed him. I think the 7 from 7 would have been nice, but to me, he's still the best.
Yeah, and I agree exactly with what you've said. When you say if he would have won, he probably stays there. I mean, you look back at the way in which he left the Brisbane Broncos. I cannot imagine a world where that occurs if he'd won a grand final in the last 4 or 5 years.
No, not at all. But what were the circumstances around him leaving the first time? Because that was a couple of years after 06. Was there a little bit of infighting there as well?
Well, did he more so think he was looking for a bit of a new challenge.
Yeah, okay.
I more so think.
Yeah. It was certainly way more messy this time.
Heaps more messy after this grand final, for sure. But yeah, I think people forget as well with Wayne Bennett. Like he was signed and sealed and going to coach the Roosters in 2009, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then that hit the front page of the paper, so he pulled himself out of that. And then, of course, that leads to him going to the Dragons and he wins a comp there.
Yeah.
Like a real sort of turning point there. And, of course, who does he beat in that grand final? The Roosters, the team he was probably meant to be coaching.
Mm.
Instead, they get Brian Smith, who Wayne Bennett's already beaten in, I think, 3 grand finals by this point. Beats him in another one. Poor old Brian Smith.
Oh, so
tough fucking gig. Yeah. But yeah, I think that Wayne would have stayed at the Broncos if they would have won this grand final. And I think that they wouldn't be in the boat. As much as their situation is improving, I think that if they win this grand final, I don't think it causes a domino effect that eventually leads to a wooden spoon a couple of years ago. I'm more than willing to die on that hill.
Especially because 2015 was Wayne's first year back at Brisbane.
Yep.
So he would have just been looked at as this absolute saviour. And yeah, he would have had a job for life at Brisbane, you'd imagine.
For sure. And well, you would have to think too, like, where, like, that's just another thing that would elevate him to another level.
Mm.
That he goes to, you know, obviously starts this franchise up at Brisbane, got all these great players, not many teams in Queensland. They've got this brand that is just unbelievable. Everyone wants to play for the Brisbane Broncos. He leaves, they're not overly successful. If he comes back year one and does it, and I think a big point to talk about here as far as Wayne Bennett's career, that when you look at every other sort of premiership he's won with the Broncos, there's always either been a Darren Lockyer or an Alan Langer.
Mm.
You look at this premiership with a spine of Andrew McCulloch, Ben Hunt, Anthony Milford, Darius Boyd, champion players, don't get me wrong, but not those all-time great superstars like the Broncos teams that we've come to know. So for him to do it in his first year back, I think that would have been pretty special for Wayne.
Oh, for sure. He would have been, as I said, it's hard to like elevate him further, but that just would have been another thing for Wayne. He came back to Brisbane, like where he got all of his premierships, well, except for the Dragons one, came back. It just would have been one of the stories of the decade. We'd still be talking about it. We'd be talking about it like we talk about Thurston now, which is, yeah.
And I suppose, you know, if you pair a player with Wayne Bennett, it's got to be Darius Boyd. And for him to win a comp at the Broncos with Wayne, leave, go to the Dragons, win a comp with Wayne, get the Clive Churchill at the Dragons, and then for him to go back to Brisbane with Wayne and win a comp there, I know people might bag Darius Boyd and they don't like him or whatever. Such a tremendous player, a champion fucking player.
Mm.
That scene of him just falling to his knees and holding his head
play. I've got it running through my brain as you said that. Yeah, it's devastating.
It's one of the most heartbreaking moments in rugby league, I reckon.
Yeah. Have you read Darius Boyd's book?
I haven't.
Read it. Everyone, read his book. It's called Beating the Blues, so it's like a double meaning. Obviously, beating the Blues origin, like he was part of that team, scored all those tries, but also all his mental health battles. He really goes deep. It's one of the best books from a rugby league player.
It's one of those moments too, obviously just talking about Darius and the boys, like when Thurston hits the post and misses the goal, there's footage that just focuses on the Brisbane Broncos team at that point. And just the heads go up. There's a moment. I think it was Adam Blair. He had subbed off in that moment as it happened. He'd come from the field and he was standing right on the corner post, like directly in front of JT, almost hiding behind the corner post, watching it all play. It's five unbelievable scenes. We'll just we'll never see anything like that grand final again. And I think Wayne, as much as he can't really be elevated to another level, if he'd won seven grand finals with the Broncos, and let's say they hadn't won another one since, or maybe he had moved on eventually, it puts him in pretty special air, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to say anything further. Like, he's already a legend, but he would have been an even bigger legend.
And let's say they do win that grand final. Let's say Kyle Felt doesn't score that try on the very last play. I want to talk about the Broncos halves, mate, because in my opinion, yep, Anthony Milford fucking shits in for a Clive Churchill.
He was, yeah. I think Benny Hunt had an okay game, but his big performance was the prelim, the week before against the Roosters. I reckon that's his best game that I've seen him play. He just tore him to shreds. I think he scored. He was fantastic that game. And then the next week, Milford steps up in the grand final and was just fantastic as well. But I agree. I think if Brisbane win, he deserves. I never, ever, ever, ever think the Clive Churchill should go to a losing team. Mm. But I think in the last decade we've seen two. If anyone was going to win it, I reckon this was the time to do it.
I think it's a very fair argument to say Milford 15 was better than DCE 13 and White 19.
I totally agree.
Another hill I'm more than willing to die on. I thought Milf was fantastic in this game. And of course, as we said, if Kyle Felt doesn't score that try, which of course, you know, there's a big long argument and you can watch it in slow motion as many times as you want that try and pin who you want to blame it on, whether it's Milford, Jack Reid. It happens so quickly and it's such an unorthodox play. I don't know if you can really pin it on anyone, but of course, Milford was one of the three on that edge. Fuck, you take out that try. I personally think Anthony Milford's career is completely different. I think he's a premiership winner, a Clive Churchill medalist. He stays with Wayne Bennett for potentially the rest of his career. Yep. And I also think he probably stays with Ben Hunt for the rest of his career.
Yeah. I mean, he was just one of the best players going around at that time. I mean, obviously, all the focus was on Jonathan Thurston. And even in the Broncos, the focus was mostly on Ben Hunt. But, Milford just had the... He just killed it back then. He was an absolute delight to watch. Definitely one of my favourite players. I think a lot of people would agree.
And I mean, I think people forget too that was his first year at Brisbane as well.
Mm.
He was a utility fullback the year before for the Canberra Raiders.
Yeah.
Arrived up there and, you know, Wayne obviously did this 10 years ago with Darren Lockyer, moved him from fullback to 5'8", killed it, did it with Milf as well. And whilst it doesn't get the recognition that it probably deserves for how good he was during that period, he was incredible, Milford, and I think that if they do go on to win that premiership, we talk about that switch completely differently because he realistically was learning to play a new position. He played 27 games that year, Anthony Milford, playing out of position, well, obviously playing in his new position, but getting used to that. And I think we both agree he played well enough to win a Clive Churchill.
He definitely should have won the Clive that year. If the Broncos won, he definitely would have won the Clive. I think as well, like, we're all guilty of recency bias. I think two victims of that are Anthony Milford and Darius Boyd from this team, because Boyd had a great career, fantastic career, rep career. Like, he was insane. His last year wasn't fantastic, and people choose to remember him for that, which is grossly unfair. And I think Milford's pretty similar. Even a couple of years ago, Milford had a great year for Brisbane, but people just totally forget about it because of his last, you know, handful of games, couple of seasons for Broncos. I think that's pretty unfortunate because two really good players and two of the best to do it in the NRL.
Personally, I look at the career of Darius Boyd, and as you said, a lot of people want to remember it for the last few years, which I think is absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
I remember peak Darius Boyd 2010, who...
Oh, that's the best.
He outplayed Billy Slater that year. He was incredible. You got to remember the year before that, Jared Hayne won the Dally M medal, possibly the greatest season by a fullback we've seen it. It was at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
So all these guys are running around, and I thought Darius Boyd, he was the best fullback in 2010. He might not have been as exciting. He wasn't as quick, but he iced every single moment he possibly could, went all the way to the grand final, won it. Not only won it, took home the Clive Churchill medal. You want to talk about the best guys at executing a 3-on-2? Give me prime Darius Boyd any day of the week.
I think as well... obviously, in 2010, the Carney Army came in and Todd just killed it, especially the back end of the year, and won the Dally M. But I think when voting shut, it was a two-horse race between Darius and Isaac Luke. Wow. And only because I think Isaac did his shoulder. And then I don't know where Darius came. I'll look it up in a sec. But Darius was one of the favorites to win that year, like halfway through the year. And then obviously Carney came in and shat in at the end. But yeah, that 2010 season for Darius was so good.
And I think as well, like when you talk about Wayne and Boyd, like I think everyone looks at the Newcastle years as, you know, a huge failure. It all went wrong, blah, blah, blah. I mean, 2013, they took that Newcastle side to a prelim final. And I don't think that's appreciated enough how close they got.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you have a look through that side. Darius Boyd, Kevin Aguama, Joey Lelua, Gagai, Quiliuate, Jared Mullen, Tyrone Roberts, like a good side, but to get to a prelim final when your coach only arrived a year or so before, an incredible effort.
Yeah, people forget that because of kind of, well, the Knights fans want to say how he left the club and think whatever you think, that's fine. But he got him to a prelim and the next 3 years were absolutely disastrous for the Knights. Yeah. What a shame that prelim was. Danny Badiris ending his career.
I was about to say, I thought that was the night with Rhea Hargraves, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tough gig. But yeah, Anthony Milford, we both agree. I'm very interested to hear what you guys think. Leave it in the comments. I thought he was the Broncos' best player that night, and I thought he was the best player on the park. Mate, a little shout-out to...
Sorry, one more. Also, Darius... So, Carney got 27 Dally M points, and Darius got 25. So, it was two off. Robbie Farah came second.
In 2010?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And Isaac Luke was on 18 and he missed the second half of the year. That's, I remember it because it was like a Darius versus Isaac race in the middle of the year.
What did you say Robbie Farah was on?
26. I know.
Unlucky on a number of occasions.
Unluckiest bloke. Yeah.
Very unlucky on a few occasions. Yeah. So, and I mean, we have to talk about it, Matty, and we are we've been the first ones to defend him for the last 10 years or so, and it's great to see him prove everyone wrong this year in Origin and whatnot. Obviously, Ben Hunt, it's the moment that a lot of people choose to remember Ben Hunt for in that grand final. And re-watching this game, the one thing that really stood out for me, and we spoke about it off camera before, Kyle Felt's kickoffs.
Yeah.
Fucking unbelievable. You go and have a look at the first two kickoffs of the game. Kyle Felt kicks off and the Broncos are tackled 1 or 2 metres out from their own line because the ball isn't caught coming straight at the player. The ball is caught like a bomb. Like the players are looking straight up and it just went, didn't go direct to them. It went up and then it would drop on a spot in the in goals. It was Paddy Richards-like, whatever you want to call it. It was unbelievable from Kyle Felt. And, you know, not excusing what happened to Ben Hunt, dropped the ball, shouldn't have happened. Did happen, though, is what it is. It's one thing, it's the main thing about this grand final, Matty, that I just wish never fucking occurred because it's so unfair on so many fronts.
Yeah, and, like, thank God, Benny, like, I think we all agree, you know, I think we're all over it. Like, and Benny Hunt got his origin moment this year, which was just... as much as I hated it at the time, like for Ben Hunt, he deserved that because he definitely didn't deserve what happened in that 2015 Golden Point because he was their best player all year. They wouldn't have been there without Ben Hunt. And I wish Thurston kicked that goal. I think everyone does. Yeah, it's very unfortunate.
I argue they wouldn't have been a top four team, potentially not a top eight team without Ben Hunt. His form that year was on another fucking level. And as we saw, or as we have seen throughout the rest of Anthony Milford's entire career, he needs a guy next to him to steer the ship.
Mm.
He needs to be the second fiddle guy to play his best. You saw it in the World Cup this year with Jerome Luai in charge, running the show there. Milf could just pop up here and there where he needed to. And I really do think that if they would have won this grand final, I think you see Hunt and Milf stay together for a lot longer.
Yep.
And I also think that you probably would have seen Brisbane, knowing what Milf could achieve and the sort of guy he would be, I think they would have changed their, would you call it their recruitment policy, their team building, whatever it was, like putting Cody Nikorima at 7 and these sort of guys. It just wasn't what you needed for Milf.
It would have been Hunt and Milford. Because, like, Hunt stayed there for, what, another 1 or 2 years? But after what happened, you just had to get out of there, which is shit. But, he'd probably still be playing for the Bronx.
Yeah, and as much as the Dragons offered him an unbelievable deal, I agree with you. I think a big part of it was to get out of there after what had occurred. If he was a premiership winner for that year and it went... Alan Langer, Ben Hunt, these sort of guys as Brisbane Broncos, premiership winning halves, and Wayne Bennett was still the coach. I reckon he would have taken you know, 200 or 300 less to stay at the Broncos if they were a premiership threat than go down to St. George.
Oh, the premiership halfback for Brisbane wasn't... They weren't going to let the premiership halfback for the Broncos go. There's no chance. And also, it was the demise of one of the best signs I've ever seen. I was at South vs. Broncos at Allianz one day, and there was a big sign from a Broncos guy saying, on the hunt for a MILF.
So that was good. My super coach team name for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
One of the best, yeah. This grand final, the deeper you go, the more that you can find. Another one I wanted to mention was Justin Hodges. A tremendous career. Played for the Broncos, went down to the Chooks, had a couple of injuries and whatnot down there, but still did a sensational job for the Roosters, and then came back to the Brisbane Broncos. Wayne Bennett welcomed him back, and pretty crazy to think that when he signed with the Roosters, Wayne Bennett, he refused to play him in first grade when he was a young bloke just because of the rivalry with the Roosters and whatnot. So he was playing Reggie's up there when he was probably ready to play State of Origin, and then he returns, and in his last game with Wayne Bennett as coach, he's the captain of the Brisbane Broncos going into that grand final. And as I said, Justin had a fantastic career. He shit me for so fucking long when it came to Origin. Yeah. If it was a Wednesday night featuring Justin Hodges, I fucking hated it for a decade or so. But you got to respect the sort of guy he was. Whenever I was watching Hodges play Origin, as much as I hated him, I hated him because I wanted him.
Oh, for sure.
You wanted a guy like him in your Origin team. He was tough as nails, strong as all fuck, skillful. Like some of the stuff he was capable of doing throughout his career. Remember that night that he threw the one through his legs, against the Titans? That was incredible. Some of the flick passes he used to come off, you know, the way that when him and Willie Tonga used to have those duels in the early 2000s, and just when Hodjo would get you with that left hand, he'd just hold you a meter away for a few seconds and just create something. Oh, I still think, Matty, he is the best. He's the best outside back dummy half scooter we've ever seen.
And you always knew he was going to do it.
And you always knew what he was going to do, and he would beat the first marker every single time for 10 years. You couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, he's one of the great centers. And, like, I know you got, like, GI and Mel and that, but if I'm picking my best ever Queensland team, I'm finding a spot for all of them, because Hodges was such a gun in Origin and such a gun for the Bronx.
And he is such a good story as well, as far as if you haven't seen it, go back and have a look at his Origin debut. Matty, can you Dior that? I'm going to say 2001 game two, I think it is.
2001 was my guess as well. Let me just get it up. State of Origin.
I've got a feeling it's game two for some reason, not game one.
Where is this? Oh, sorry, one moment.
Anyway.
2002
was it?
Yes.
Yeah, to his Origin debut, he has an absolute fucking shocker. It is potentially the worst Origin game played by an individual. And, you know, very typical of media and everything. Won't play again. Red Sharpie threw his name, blah, blah, blah. As Matty just said, he'd find a spot for him in his best Queensland side ever. So the resiliency that he showed throughout his career, even to come back to the Broncos after being completely shunned for signing with the Roosters, incredible stuff. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
As I said, Justin Hodges, an unbelievable career, and another guy that it's hard to elevate him. But when we're being harsh and we're being realistic, Matty, if he finishes holding a trophy as the captain of the Brisbane Broncos, it does take Hodjo to another level for me.
Yeah, I think so. I know it's kind of different, but even when he retired from Origin and they let him hold the shield, it would have been kind of like that. Like he deserves a moment like that. And
it's moments that matter.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
When you talk about the legacy of players and greatest players of all time and the best of the best, it's moments is what matters.
And that's why we're about to talk about Thurston. I mean, you got Joey 97 winning that moment. You got Thurston 15 winning that moment. And those are two things that those two players are defined on, and probably while they'll reach immortal status.
Yeah, 100%. Now, before we do get to Thurston,
What if the Broncos did win the 2015 Grand Final over little brother, the North Queensland Cowboys? This full episode will be available tonight at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in Rugby League Guru, like, comment, subscribe there, and get stuck into this one with myself and Matty the Water Boy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.